28. Jesse knew he should call for backup. Knew that if a situation developed at the house, he would hear it from Molly tomorrow. But it might be a false alarm. The gadget had cost him only $20, and he'd used it only one other time. If it wasn't a false alarm, he wanted to control the situation himself and not spook whoever was inside. And he was only a couple blocks away. If it was a simple B&E, he would arrest them and take them in. If it was someone who had come to search Neil's house, or had come back to search it again, Jesse wanted to know who it was. Right fucking now. He parked at the head of the street and jogged the rest of the way to the house. No lights inside, but that meant nothing. Jesse remembered the shades and draperies being drawn when he was the one who had broken into the place. He hadn't locked the front door behind him after he'd picked the lock. He was hoping that if someone was still inside, they hadn't either. Unless they'd come through the back door and not activated the sensor until they got near the front entrance. Back or front? Jesse decided on front. He had his Glock out, hanging at his side, not pressed to his chest the way he'd been taught for situations involving pursuit. Only this wasn't pursuit, at least not yet. He heard his own breathing as he crouched down and crabbed his way across the front of the house, getting even lower as he passed underneath the picture window in the living room. Down the street and down the hill, he could hear the ocean. It seemed to him that no matter where he was in paradise, he could hear the ocean. Sometimes he imagined hearing it when he was behind his desk. He gave a last check of his phone, having already muted it, knowing that an incoming call right now would sound like a grenade going off. The sensor was still activated. Someone was still inside. No light from in there, no sound. Why had he left the sensor? He knew. Molly wasn't the only one who had hunches. He put his gun in his left hand and reached up with his right and gently put it on the knob and moved it maybe a quarter of a turn to the right. It moved noiselessly. He had the element of surprise on his side. But not much use if he was outnumbered and outgunned. There was no one on the street at this time of night. No cars had driven by since Jesse had gotten out of the Explorer. Just the faint light of the moon working its way through the cloud cover. He reached down again, made sure the radio on his belt was disabled. He turned the knob all the way and pushed the door open and stepped into the front hall. As he did, he saw a figure step out into the other end of the hall, just outside the doorway leading to Neil O'Hara's study. "Police!" Jesse yelled. He couldn't see whether the man had a gun in his hand or not. But it didn't matter because the guy turned and bolted for the back of the house where Jesse knew the kitchen door opened onto the backyard. Then someone was throwing a shoulder into Jesse from his left, out of the living room, knocking him down, heading for the back door himself. The guy turning and firing a wild shot over Jesse's head that splintered the front door. Jesse scrambled back to his feet and chased them through the open door, pulling the radio off his belt as he did, yelling that shots had been fired on Beach Avenue and that he was in pursuit of multiple suspects. As he got to the patio, he saw them to his right, cutting across a neighbor's lawn, heading back for the street and probably the beach. They had a good head start. There was enough light from the moon for Jesse to see that they were both dressed in dark clothes. Jesse ran hard after them, readying to drop and roll if one of them stopped and turned and took dead aim at him this time. He could see them sprinting toward the place where the street dead-ended at the public beach. He knew this area. He often walked it in the night and wondered if they knew about the wooded area down to their right. They ran right, toward the woods. But Jesse was gaining ground. He saw one of them slowing down now, checking to see where Jesse was, and when he did, there was enough light from the moon that Jesse could see it reflecting off what looked like a long handgun. He heard the first siren in the distance from the direction of town, the backup he knew he should have called for in the first place. The man fired the gun and missed him. Jesse dropped to the sand and was about to fire back when he saw the couple walking hand in hand down near the water. It was then that he heard one shot and then another from behind him, like thunderclaps, as the men on the beach disappeared into the woods. Jesse rolled over in the sand then and saw Crow standing next to the dead end sign, gun in his hand.